Ranger Jim, I'm here at Paxton Pits.
Hey. Hi.
Yeah. And it looks absolutely amazing, and had a beautiful drive across Cambridgeshire as I came up on across Paxton Hill and looked across and thought, wow.
Yes, that's the landscape that we're trying to preserve. It's actually like a step back in time.
Here I am, and we hear you on Jeremy's show, but I want you to take me to a favourite place of yours here. Can we do that?
It's raining, so I would actually take you out looking for dragonflies and walking about the place and look for grass snakes, but it's not the sort of day for that. So we thought we'd go to the Hyde, we can sit out of the rain and see everything, hopefully.
Excellent. Just come through a gate. How large is this wonderful nature reserve?
It's a bunch of restored gravel pits, basically, so a lot of it's water. Uh-huh. So if you talk in terms of acres or hectares, it doesn't really mean very much because it's water. But basically, it's about half a mile wide and a mile and a half long at the moment, set to double.
It's called Paxton Pits.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, the water is the pits. Are they still working?
Actually, they're working up at Diddington now, but it's still, it all comes back to the same base to be sorted. So the gravel company are going to be operating for at least another 5 or 6 years, we think. There's another car coming behind us now that's going to come in. We're moving.
Okay, right, let's get going.
It's moorings operator. We have some moorings at the river that we lease out.
Oh, right.
So we're going up, basically we don't normally drive up here. We're going up the main trail. And this is the most popular walk for visitors. And you see most of the things you're going to see in quite a short distance up here. And we have two hides on this trail, on what we call the Harran Trail. And the first one is named after the former manager of the gravel pit, Mr. Hayden.
Oh, well,
so
lovely.
It's called the Hayden Hyde. And then the second one, which we're going to go to because it's my favourite, is the Kingfisher Hyde, which is named after, not Mr. Kingfisher, but the Kingfisher. And funnily enough, we get a lot of photographers here going after kingfishers. In fact, I have one who only photographs kingfishers, and he comes nearly every day on his way home from work, I think, and has a lot of success, but not at the Kingfisher Hyde. He either gets them at the Riverview Point or a point we've just passed, which is called Bill's Bench. Bill was our plumber, he used to do free plumbing for us, a wonderful guy, and when he died we put up a bench and a screen for him. So and now we're going past another viewing. This is in fact, people like this better than the Hyde. It's like a bus stop.
Yeah.
It's a raised bus stop, so you can get a view over the lake. It doesn't have any windows in, but it does have a roof. There was a great debate. I didn't want it to have a roof, actually, because I like to see the buzzards and red kites going over the top. But actually, it's been the most popular thing we've done. We'll start on the birds when we get to the Hyde, because it's actually quite an exciting time of year, this.
Yeah.
Much to a lot of people's surprise. I mean, all of these bushes on the right used to be nightingale habitat, and they still have lots of warblers and songbirds in the spring.
Yeah.
So May was like our Christmas. That's when we get most of our visitors coming to hear those. But they've actually moved right up to the other end of the site now, as this scrub has got too old for them.
Yeah.
So many stories, things to do. This scrub needs rejuvenating, and we've been tinkering with it, you see.
Right.
What we really need to do is to get in some bulldozers or, you know, something, just smash it all up and something, because that's how this reserve was created. It was done with bulldozers, not with four men with you know, edge trimmers. Right, yeah. Now we've got some of our dog walkers here.
Fantastic. So you get a lot of visitors, and you're open all year round, aren't you?
24/7, which is one of the issues about security. It's open all the time, night and day. People like this, the dog walkers, are actually our eyes and ears, so there's nothing much. People can't get away with much, they get spotted.
Okay. Hello, how often do you come here?
Probably twice a day, morning and afternoon, walk the dogs.
You must be very fit. And you love it too, don't you? Yes, you do. Why here?
It's just beautiful. It's safe, you can, as soon as you're in the gate, out of the car park, you can let the dogs loose. Except in certain times of the year, nesting season, you have to keep to different places, but it's fine.
How many miles do you reckon you cover?
I usually do a 4 mile walk in the morning with them, and then probably 3 in the afternoon. But it goes so quickly because it's a night, and then you meet lovely people like Linda with her two dogs, and it's great.
Do you come for the wildlife as well? Do you like to spot?
Not really, because if you've got a couple of dogs, it's all gone. But I did see 3 otters the other day for 1 second, and as soon as they saw me, they'd gone.
Hello.
Hello.
And for you, how often do you come?
Well, we've just moved out of the village, just up the road, but I've still been coming every day,
yeah.
Just once a day, whereas it was two to three times a day. But it's lovely, and they miss it, so we have to come back every day to visit still.
Lovely people visiting here as well, Jim.
Do you know, that's one of the pleasures of the job. These are dog walkers. They come twice a day, quite a lot of them. They're quite a large chunk of our visitors, especially in low season like now.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more dog walkers than photographers and bird watchers. Mm. Now we're trogging along this quite a long boardwalk, quite an expensive piece of kit. This was all built by volunteers and one member of staff, except for the metalwork underneath. We've got a tame farmer up the road who does the metalwork for us.
Yeah.
This is leading out along, actually what we're on, you see we're on a big bank.
Yeah.
And a ditch on either side.
Yeah.
This is the old parish boundary. So if you're in Southoe and I'm in Little Paxton, yeah, this is the boundary. And this wood that we're standing in, you can see these oak trees. This was never dug out for gravel. So this is the actual original ground level up here. And these were probably originally British oaks.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Nelson's Navy and whatnot, they felled them all to make the ships and build houses and things like that, and replanted with these turkey oaks, which are not nearly as good for wildlife, but they grow straight and fairly quickly by comparison to proper oaks.
So how old would they be then?
Less than 100 years old looking at them, I would think. Maybe 100 years old. Some of these will probably be regenerated from the ones that were planted before.
Yeah.
You can see young ones coming up all the time because, yeah, the squirrels and jays plant the acorns. So around the reserve, we've tried to get rid of turkey oaks, except where there are a landscape feature like this along this parish boundary.
Mm. It was a far-seeing thing that when the pits were excavated, that they did leave some of these trees.
I don't think it was, you know.
Do you know?
I think it was just, it was a good solid ridge to work from.
Mm.
I mean, these pits were the first ones were started in the war.
Wow.
And you didn't worry about planning permission. The earliest pits were the same shape as the fields. This is one of the older ones. It's quite a long drop. It's about, well, it must be about 10 feet from us down, yeah, to the ground. That's 6 feet of gravel that's come out, plus overburden and some clay. And that was all dredged wet in the old days. As soon as you started digging, it filled with water because the river's just over the bank up the other side there. You would dredge it.
Yeah.
Nowadays, what you do is you get some huge pumps and you just pump it dry and keep pumping the whole time while you've got excavators in. So it's all done dry now.
Mm.
And the other thing is that now we try to plan the landscape that's going to be there afterwards with the gravel company. That's all done in conjunction with them for them to get their planning permission. That means that we plan the islands in, fox-proof areas where the foxes can't get and so on.
Mm.
This is more or less accidental, most of it. It's just come out the way it has.
It's absolutely stunning, Jim. It really is.
The gentleman we just spoke to mentioned otters.
Yeah.
And that fallen tree there is a typical place where we see otters. The fish gather underneath the tree. There's not much cover in the water, so the small fish gather there. And you can go off and see an otter, not often, sometimes see an otter out on the trunk there eating a fish. So just before you get to the hide, it's worth going along quietly. Don't just rush till you get to the hide and think you're going to see everything when you get there.
How long have you been here, Jim?
Too long. Do you know what? I haven't counted up. It's about 17 years, I think. It's funny because about the longest time I've been in any post, really. It's flown. I'm due to retire next year, so.
No.
Look overhead.
Ah.
Swallows and martins, loads of them. These are migrating right past us now. These are not local birds. So they're just feeding up on insects here. They probably spent the night in a reed bed up at the next lake. And they're just feeding up, and then they'll head on south, whisking around. Look at that. There's maybe 200 there, something like that. I think they're house martins. We have sand martins as well. I think they're all house martins, that lot. Because mine left in Brampton weeks ago.